Well, good morning on this lockdown Sunday morning. Welcome to Central Baptist Church Live. It's our first effort in live streaming like this. And of course, this morning, not even from our church building, but from my home. I have a congregation this morning in front of me of only three people, but hopefully many more listening, our members and friends, and perhaps even friends from other places in the country and also in the world. So we are looking to the Lord to be with us today, to bless us, to use this time, and want to begin right at the outset of the service by turning to the Lord in prayer. And so won't you bow your heads just wherever you are as I pray, leading us, looking to the Lord in worship. Our Father, our hearts resonate and identify with the prophet Isaiah, just as we have recorded in the scriptures, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was and is to come. You alone are the great I Am. You alone are the Most High over all the earth. O Lord, you are our God. We seek you in all earnestness. Our soul thirsts for you. Our bodies long for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You are our God, and we will praise you, our Father's God, and we will exalt you. You are the true God, the living God, the one only living and true God, the everlasting King, the covenant Lord, our God, who is the Lord." And so we come in the name of Jesus, our Father in heaven, trusting your Holy Spirit to be at work in us and even among us in our different homes, to the glory of your name. Amen. It is our practice week by week to read the scriptures. And so again, this morning I do want to read from Mark chapter 14, from verse 43. Mark chapter 14, verse 43. "And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' And when he came, he went up to him once and said, 'Rabbi,' and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple, teaching you, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled.' And they all left him and fled." Do you want to just share some notices with you, just in terms of the life of Central Baptist Church at the moment? There is a bulletin online. We do encourage you to check out our website, and you will be able to see some of the additional notices there as well. Do want to remind you that there is the daily quiet time, the lockdown quiet time from 1 and 2 Peter, and those will be posted morning by morning. Once again, tomorrow morning, there'll be a recorded video that you'll be able to watch. Also, a live Bible study, if we get this right this morning, we will also do on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, open to those who are able to access YouTube and Facebook. We do want to encourage you to remember to pray, not only for ourselves as a church and our families, but let's pray for our country, for those who are making decisions in government, our president, and just the worldwide pandemic that seems to be causing so much havoc. And pray that in times like these, that people would really look to God to find their peace and their rest. Also, just want to encourage you, we obviously can't take up an offering today, but the life of the church continues, and you can participate in giving, whether it be via EFT, whether it be via our website or even SnapScan is available. And then just a notice, do want to encourage you to be in touch with people. Use the technology we have, telephone, WhatsApp, video opportunities to speak to one another, but let's be encouraging one another throughout this time as well. I do want to lead us in another word of prayer, so if you would just bow your heads as we turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we come to you again this morning to pray, these times and this season reminds us that we are creatures, that you are God, that you are almighty, that we are finite, and that you are eternal. Lord, it helps us realize that we are totally dependent on you. And even this morning, thanking you for the gifts that you give us, that we take for granted, the common grace of your provision of just daily food and shelter, the air we breathe, this beautiful world that we live in, and Lord, the display of your magnificent glory as we look around at your creation. But Lord, in our weakness, and particularly in this time, realizing our vulnerabilities to illness and even death, Lord, we would come and just ask that your grace and your mercy abound to us in our time of need. Pray particularly for those, we think of those in our congregation who are sick, and Lord, some very sick. We commend them to you in their particular need, and we pray for them, Lord, that you would draw close to them, that you would lift them up from their sickbed. Pray for those, Lord, who are discouraged. Pray for those who are feeling lonely, particularly at this time of lockdown, those who are on their own, in their homes or wherever they may be. Help them to know, Lord, your strength and your grace to be with them. Won't you also, Lord, just pray as we turn to the scriptures this morning that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, guide us into all truth. Won't you show us where we are in error? Make plain to us that which we do not understand. Enable us to test every word and work and to hold on to our commitment to everything good. Lord, won't you instruct us so that we will not be like children who are tossed back and forth and blown about by every wind of doctrine propounded by clever men. Let us mature in Christ in all things as we learn to speak the truth in love, praying that Christ be the head of the body to us in practical daily living. And so give us everything we need to understand your will, so that we can know whether a teaching is really from you. Make us free by your truth. Strengthen us so that we can uphold the standard of wholesome words that we have heard. Let us maintain the truth with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Help us to keep on holding firmly to the things we have learned, confidently believed, knowing the person from whom we have learned them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. We have at Central Baptist over these past weeks started a series in the book of Hebrews. And so I want to continue in that series today. And we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And again, would you follow with me in your Bible and read the passage that will be under consideration today. So Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Or in the days of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you, and in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Do you want to begin this message this morning by asking a question just about your own personal walk of faith? And an important question, and wanting you to think about this, does claiming to be a Christian today, does that guarantee that you will hold, that you will still hold onto that profession next year? Perhaps in 30 years' time or 40 years? Inasmuch as most of us, and perhaps even all of us, would like to assume that we will all will always be well with us, with God, any professing believer, that all will be well into the future, it may in fact not always be so. Why would I say that? Why would I think that there may be those who follow the Lord today who may not follow him in the future? Well, I think like you, down through the years, we've observed different people. I've had various friends, if I think back to my younger days, who were alongside of us in church, in worship, in service, and today they no longer serve the Lord. And even in the life of the church, I've discovered, in the life of our church at Central, there have been those who've been among us 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and today they have not moved to another church, they've not moved just to another city, to another place to worship, but they no longer follow the Lord. I think the words of the Apostle John have been all too familiar. And I read 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. He says there, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. And this is not only John who has access and visible, he's able to see that apostasy is taking place in front of his eyes. But we have the Apostle Paul, also in his letter to the Galatians, he bluntly challenges the group of Christians there and says to them in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. It seems therefore that apostasy, turning away from God, is a common problem. It cannot be ignored. Every professing Christian ought to take note of the reality and the possibility of apostasy. And in those words that we sang earlier on in that hymn, familiar words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The Hebrews receiving this letter addressed to them, suffered with that tendency, along, of course, with the rest of us. Our lives are such that at times it can be likened to driving a car with a flat tire. Now, if you've ever done that, the left front wheel is flat. It's an old car, and you're trying to hold the car onto the center of the road, but it's pulling to the left. It's drifting to the left. It's deviating from the center of the road and pulling away from where it should be. And so with us as Christians, the tendency to move away from safety with God, the tendency is to move away from the truth of God, away from the gospel, away from Christ, away from peace. And sadly, even the possibility of away from eternal life. Well, God speaks to us in this passage today regarding what I would want to even say this morning is the life and death importance of you and me avoiding apostasy. And so my very first point this morning is I want to consider the seriousness of this danger. Just thinking about our context in the world, South Africa, there are some people who have responded to our president's decision to lock down the country as an overreaction or as overkill. They suggest that the COVID-19 virus or pandemic is being sensationalized in the media. They would say, after all, the statistics show that an estimated 56,000 people die approximately every year as a result of HIV and TB. And another statistic, on average, we have 57 people murdered in South Africa every day. Why then this reaction, they say? There are others, of course, on the other end who agree with the president. And they say that the lockdown decision is good. They see it as a potential ticking bomb. And in fact, we know that if we would be subject to the mortality rates that are evident in Italy, it would be an absolute disaster in our country. I use that illustration because similarly, the full spectrum of varying opinions exist with regard to peace with God or safety with God. Some people don't care. Some people say that there is no danger. Some people take their safety for granted. They have been lulled for various reasons into a false sense of security, assuming that they will always be safe. And then there is what God says in this passage to us this morning. It's what I want to urge on us as a congregation. There is a very real danger for any one of us of losing our way. In the passage, we see the author quoting Psalm 95. And by doing this, God is taking us back to the Old Testament. He's taking us back in history to clarify any delusions or misconceptions or misunderstandings regarding the serious danger of apostasy. And so he refers the readers back to the wilderness experience of the Exodus from Egypt. And I read from verse 7, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And so there is a statement that we need to make from that particular passage. There is no rest, there is no peace with God for those who stray from God. Perhaps putting it a different way, there is no safety from the wrath of God for those who wander away from God. And so I want us to consider this morning the way that God was provoked back then in the wilderness, as these people did not hear, they did not receive the stern warning that was given them, but that we would hear it, that we avoid this danger of falling into the hands of an angry God. Our passage in verse 12 it brings this particular exhortation Take care, brothers. I would say that. Take care, Central Baptist Church members and friends, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. The seriousness of this danger, as we turn again to our passage, is made more emphatic, in fact, even clearer, because there is a repetition of the same thing in the following verses, verse 16. And I read, "For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient." So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Now, of course, that's a description of what happened to those who God rescued from Egypt. They heard what God had to say, but they didn't like what they heard. They resisted hearing and obeying. They murmured, they complained, they rebelled. And of course, we know the history, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the whole nation rebelled against God. They sought alternate leadership, were not happy with what God had provided. They expressed dissatisfaction with God, what God provided for them to eat and to be sustained from in their daily living, a kind and miraculous provision that they were not happy with. And even at one time, there were some of those who wanted to go back to Egypt. They thought it would be better to be back as slaves in Egypt. And so I need to repeat, as we seek to apply this passage this morning, there is no rest, there is no peace with God for those who stray from God. There is no safety from the wrath of God for those who wander away from God. This is an urgent issue. This is an important issue. This is a crucial issue. This is a serious issue. Wandering away from God, and I want to elaborate over here, must not be understood as God in a general sense. Danger exists for those who specifically, and again look at our passage, the focus is on verse 1, Jesus. Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. So danger exists for those who turn their backs on the gospel. Those who turn their backs on Jesus, who is the sent one, the apostle, and sent by the Father on a mission to do the work of a high priest, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, I want to urge you this morning. I want to appeal to you. I want to almost beg with you. Like the Apostle Paul, we do need to constantly decide to hold firmly, unswervingly, unashamedly, exclusively to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. To know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Anything more, adding to the gospel? Anything less, taking away from the gospel? And you're skating on thin ice. Christ without the cross? Christ without the resurrection? Christ plus works? Or Christ plus social justice? And you're in deep trouble. We need to heed the warning. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if our brothers and sisters, those who we've known, those who we've walked with, those that we've worshipped with, those that we've sought to care for, what a tragedy if any of us were to fail to enter into that final rest with God, failing to share in the heavenly dwelling. So, folks, that being the danger of apostasy, I want us now to move on and I want to show you what God says and helping us to see that there is in fact the prospect of avoiding apostasy. My second point therefore this morning, the prospect of avoiding apostasy. I've used the phrase to some of my friends down through the years, and that phrase goes like this: I will go to war with you at any time. It's a phrase I use to describe a relationship, and perhaps I need to say a special relationship, with a few friends that I've had down through the years. That statement, by saying that statement, I will go to war with you at any time, I'm actually saying to my friend, I trust you. You won't stab me in the back. You won't double cross me. You'll have my best interests at heart. You won't betray me. You won't deceive me. You won't misrepresent me. You'll have my back in danger. In other words, I'm saying to my friend, you are a faithful friend. Isn't it true? Finding a faithful friend is difficult. How many faithful friends, how many loyal friends have you had over the years? Finding a faithful spouse, isn't that what we look for? Isn't that what we desire when we get married? Finding a faithful pastor, finding faithful members of a church is a blessing we pray for. And the reason we do that is because sadly, betrayal, disloyalty, deception, broken promises, malice, slander, envy, these are far too often common experiences we face from day to day. In our minds, we often respond and think everyone can be so unreliable and so fickle. Even in the broader context of society, remember some years ago, match fixing. Remember that experience? Match fixing with some of our professional cricketers. It almost destroyed the game of cricket. What about the TV reality show Survivor? You're more likely to win the $1 million prize if you're skilled in deception, if you're skilled in blindsiding your teammates. And then to bring it home into the local church. In the context of the church, we should not be surprised to find, as John did in 3 John chapter 1 verse 9, he writes to his friend Gaius and he says, I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And so with so much disappointment in our relationships with people in different places, at different levels and for different reasons, most of us have come to believe, perhaps you're thinking about that this morning as well, coming to believe that faithfulness is a scarce commodity. And so the question and the title of this message this morning, who then can we trust? And you personally, let me ask, who then can you trust? I'm convinced that this was a question on the minds of these wavering Hebrew Christians. Remember their thoughts of abandoning their faith in Christ, their desire to go back to Judaism. Moses sticks out in their minds as a person they could trust. They, of course, held Moses, the Jewish people held Moses in high regard. They respected him and all that he did, all that he wrote. They knew him as a man who could be trusted, a man who could be relied on. He was a faithful man of God. But, says the author to the Hebrews, turn your attention to Jesus. Consider Jesus, verse 1, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. So the author is saying to them, won't you give some consideration to who Jesus is? Consider what he has accomplished on a mission, obedient to his Father. Yes, it's true. Both Jesus and Moses were faithful. There is, however, a difference between them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Now, of course, we've already seen at the beginning of the chapter that Jesus was identified as the Creator. Chapter 1, verse 2, Creator of all things, including God's people. But Moses was just one of God's people. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And so don't forget that Moses, verse 5, yes, was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And so the urging from the author here to the Hebrews, the urging from my own heart in preaching this message this morning, dear friends, it is true that you can trust Moses. You may have others that you respect, that you have a high regard for, perhaps a mentor, perhaps an author, perhaps a celebrity preacher. But think about what this passage is saying. You must go from the lesser to the greater, from the creature to the creator, from the man to God. From the creature who is fallible ultimately to God who is flawlessly reliable. You can and you must trust Jesus. You can avoid apostasy. I can avoid apostasy. You can share in that day when the Lord returns or comes and calls for you. You can make it in to the heavenly dwelling because of this heavenly calling. You can make it to the end by trusting Jesus. Putting all your eggs in the Jesus basket. It's then that you will know peace with God. It's then that you will experience rest for your soul. Verse 6. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope, Jesus. Verse 14, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence, faith in Christ, faith in the one that was the apostle and the high priest, the one who was sent, the one who has achieved this atoning sacrifice. But then thirdly, and I want to end my conclusion this morning, some practical application. And I have 3 points that I want to make that perhaps we could take away from this message. The first one is this. Spiritual procrastination is lethal. And I want to say that again. So, so important. Spiritual procrastination is lethal. I don't know if you noticed, but reference back to Psalm 95, repeated twice in our passage, and with a particular word, today. Both verse 7 and verse 15, today. Today. 29th of March, we could say. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There is a message to us. Spiritual matters need to be resolved urgently. They cannot be left for tomorrow. They cannot be left for someday in the future. And there's a reason for that. Not only do you not know what tomorrow will bring, did any of us expect 3, 4, 5 months ago that we would be locked down because of a coronavirus? Would we have expected to see the sudden death of so many people all around the world and the possible sudden death of even people, perhaps even among ourselves in our country? We do not know what the future holds. We need to resolve, keep short accounts with God. We need to draw near to God. We need to look to Christ daily. Also, I need to be careful that hard hearts left unattended only get harder. And so there is this need for us as believers, for the unbeliever, of course, in the first instance to repent and turn to Christ in faith, but for even us as believers to live with a daily attitude of repentance from sin and confession of falling short of the glory of God. There's so many realities, so many experiences, tardiness in our faith, and perhaps there's a relationship where there is betrayal, and perhaps there's activities of perversion, or perhaps activities of corruption or theft, or in the society in South Africa there's so much abuse of women and children. And so repentance, turn from your sin and turn afresh to Christ in faith, trusting Him for sins forgiven, to be a new creature, to mature in faith and to be sanctified in holiness. This has to be a top priority. It ought to be a daily practice. Spiritual procrastination is lethal. Keep short accounts with God. Number two, holding each other accountable is also essential. Apostasy is normally a slow process. It starts in the heart and develops in ways that often we don't even see. Our affections, our thoughts, the inner person is influenced by matters other than the truth of God's word. Little steps of disobedience become big steps of rebellion. Fleeting sinful thoughts grow to be all-consuming blasphemous distractions. And so therefore, we need to be looking out, desperately need to be looking out for each other. Have a look at verse 13. But exhort one another every day, regularly, as long as it is called today, while you have time, while there is light, while there is opportunity, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know what I've noticed? More often than not, we're afraid to exhort each other. We're scared, we're hesitant to challenge someone who is already sliding down the slippery pathway of disobedience or downright and outright unbelief. It seems to me we're scared to confront someone concerned how they may react. Maybe they get upset. Maybe they don't like us. Maybe they leave the church. Rather than seeing that there's a problem with their soul and their eternal well-being. And so to have the courage, and I urge each of us to have the courage to regularly hold each other accountable. It's crucial that we help each other, stand alongside of each other from falling away from God, so that we can make it through to the end. We need each other to stay on the straight and narrow. If we understand the nature of man, even those of us who are Christians, even those of us who are new creatures in Christ, we suffer with the remaining marks of sin. And so we need to practice what Solomon says in one of his proverbs: faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why? Because the deceitfulness of sin in my own heart and in your heart. We all have blind spots. They need to be pointed out by those around us. We do so, here's the important point, using the word of God. It's the scripture that must be the mirror, must be the guide. Mustn't use other people's ideas and opinions and theories to test one another and to challenge one another in our walk of faith. And so holding each other accountable is crucial. But then thirdly, and this takes us back to the central theme of this particular passage, I want to encourage you this morning. Standing on the truth of God is an anchor for your soul. And I want to end where the passage started. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Take note of the preceding verse, the last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 18. He, that is Jesus, is able to help those who are being tempted or tested. Jesus is able to help us in all of our trials. Because we, as we heard in the previous sermon from Hebrews, he is a man like us and he is a man for us. But today to see that he can be completely and utterly and infinitely trusted. He is trustworthy. He keeps his word. He sticks to his word. He carries out what he undertakes. Jesus is a promise keeper, standing on the scriptures, standing on what has been revealed. Jesus can be trusted. It is a fact of life. I think most of us would agree that any promise made is only as good as the word and the ability of the one making it. We have people making promises all around us every day for all sorts of things and undertakings, and nothing ever happens. But if that person is absolutely and utterly and completely trustworthy, we know that his promises and his word will stand. Our experience in the world has taught us that even promises made with good intentions by people can sometimes fail. Not so with Jesus. You can trust him completely to save you from your sin, to keep you as one of his sheep right through to the very end, to bind up your broken heart, remembering that his word reveals that a smoldering wick he will not quench, that he will carry you, that he will be with you, that he will surround you with his love, that he will hold you in his hand through every bend in the road, through every difficulty, through every illness, even through the valley of the shadow of death, all the way through to glory, all the way through to heaven. Let us, with many others around the world, look to Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the scriptures. And I do pray that this word this morning would dwell within our hearts and challenge us. But Lord, particularly wanting to pray for those who have hard hearts, perhaps even hardening hearts. Pray that your word would come like hammer and fire. Give to them soft hearts, tender hearts that love you. Hearts consumed with Jesus. And so, Lord, may we be a people that honors you and worships you and proclaims the good news of the gospel to the glory of your name. Amen.